All right. Well, we are back today. I'll get this turned on. Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will get into 1 Corinthians 7 and possibly finish with that today. But let's have a prayer before we get started. Most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we approach your throne this morning with gratitude that we could be here, that we can assemble as your people and offer up our worship to you. We're so thankful for this congregation and all it means to us and to the community. It's our prayer that you would bless our efforts to spread the good news, the gospel of your Son. We pray, Father, for those who are hurting this morning. We pray for Stephen, who was hurt this morning. We ask you to be with him, that he will heal quickly. We pray for those who who might be traveling, that you would watch over them and keep them safe. We're grateful for the blessings of religious freedom we have in our country, and we pray those will continue on. We ask you, Father, to bless our Bible study as we continue to look at Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And as always, we pray that you will forgive us of those times that we transgress your word. For we pray this all in the name of your Son. Amen. All right, so let's recall last week we were discussing marriage, and a lot of this chapter is about marriage. Paul, in his letter, addresses a number of different issues. And we know that, and we mentioned it last week, we'll mention it again, that there were, as he calls it, a present distress that was prompting him to give advice about various things. And that's where we're going to start today, in verse 17, where he says, and I'm going to be reading from a different translation today, the Legacy Standard Bible. I really like it. It's a fairly new one. All right, verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7 says, "Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk, and so I direct in all the churches." And we'd already talked about how what Paul told the church at Corinth, what he taught, was the same thing he taught in all the congregations. He didn't vary from it at all. So he says, as God has called each in this manner, let him walk. And we mentioned also last week how you always have to consider the context. Always consider the context. So Paul is saying here, don't, because he's talking about marriage in particular, and then he's going to broaden it, but just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you should disrupt your marriage and cut it in two, so to speak. But he is saying that if you're involved in anything sinful, then certainly you are to disrupt that. He doesn't want you to continue in anything that's sinful, regardless of the activity. So that's why, again, you have to think about the context. He certainly doesn't want you to continue to do something that's, you know, sinful. If you're involved in some sort of job or profession that's sinful, he certainly doesn't want you to continue to do that. So it's all about understanding the context. So he goes on and makes it broader. Verse 18, was any man called when he was already circumcised? In other words, when he was Jewish? Well, he's not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called an uncircumcision? He's not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Now, it used to be under the old law. Again, we have to understand the context. before the death of Christ, yeah, it was important. It's not anymore. Circumcision, uncircumcision, doesn't matter, because that is not a commandment from God. There's nothing religious about that anymore. So, you know, there was a division before the death of Christ between Jew and Gentile. But reading the New Testament, we understand that is not the case anymore. Everybody's the same anymore. So those aren't important. What does he say is important? Keeping the commandments of God. That's what it's all about. You know, remember going back to Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, chapter 12, verse 13, says the same thing. The whole duty of man is what? Keep the commandments of God. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. So that has always been the most important issue. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what's important. So since being of a Jewish background or a Gentile background isn't important anymore, then neither are any of those commandments important. They're not what you know. And he's going to later on talk about food offered to idols and things like that. And so those things aren't important anymore. So he says in verse 20, each man must remain in that condition which he was called. Again, looking at the context. That's not just something that applies to every situation. It certainly doesn't apply to anything that's sinful. God doesn't want you to remain... if you were a thief before you became a Christian, God doesn't certainly want you to continue to be a thief. So, you know, you have to always keep the context in mind here. So, when someone became a Christian, that didn't mean they had to divorce their mate automatically. It doesn't mean they had to get married. All right? So, understand that what he's talking about. So that's why he said, were you called while a slave? Well, don't worry about it. But if you're able also to become free, rather do that. Remember about, you know, the letter to Philemon. You can be a Christian and a slave in the first century. That was okay. But also, if you could gain your freedom, well, that's wonderful. But it didn't make any difference whether you were a slave or you were free. Either way, you could still be a Christian. So that's why he says it's not, you know, when you become a Christian, don't run away from your master and do something illegal. Because that was certainly something illegal. So those things that are not wrong in and of themselves, it was okay to stay in that calling. If you were doing something that wasn't sinful, it wasn't sinful to be a slave. So if you were not engaged in something sinful, then great. You don't worry about changing your situation, changing your condition. But repentance would demand, again, if you were a thief before becoming a Christian, repentance would mean that you stop being a thief. So, it all depends on what you were doing before you became a Christian. So, he reminds them, for he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. Again, what's important is your relationship to Christ. That's the most important thing. What? Do you have a relationship with Christ? All right. Would someone read Titus 2, verses 9 and 10? Because this goes right along with what we're talking about slaves and being free and being a master. Titus 2, verses 9 and 10.
Okay. Exhort servants to be obedient in their own master, to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things.
So this goes right along with Paul, what Paul was talking about here, about being slave and a free. You can be a Christian and be a slave because you can exhibit Christian characteristics while being a slave, like being obedient, not stealing, being faithful, because that adorns the doctrine of God. So as long as what you were doing before isn't sinful, then you can remain there if you want and set a good example. That's what he's saying. But if you can change your situation, that's fine too. So either way, you know, you can honor God regardless. Whether you were slave or free, you can honor God by how you live. And that's what he's concerned about. Because those earthly type distinctions don't matter. It didn't matter to God whether you were a slave or free, as long as you were fearing God and keeping his commandments. And like he said, if you can become free, well, that's great. He says, do it. That's fine. Because he reminds them, verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Don't become slaves to things that are sinful. That's what he wants people to understand. Because Christians are slaves in the sense of they are to serve God. So everybody that's a Christian is a servant in the sense of they were bought at a price. And so he says, brothers, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Again, as long as it was not sinful. Regardless of your social circumstances, those are okay as long as they're not sinful. If it's an honorable situation, if it's a good situation, then that's great. It's also, like you said, fine to make your situation better if you can, but that's not what's important. The most important thing is obeying God. That's what it's all about, he says. Remaining with God. You know, whether you're poor, rich, slave, free, male, female, none of those things are important as long as you remain with God, as long as you keep his commandments. Well, now he goes back to some more specific situations dealing with marriage or getting married, not getting married. Now, would someone read verses 25 and 26 for us?
Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be.
Okay, so now he's, again, this is kind of a new subject that he's addressing. And this is about whether, a Christian who had never been married, because that's what he's calling a virgin here, whether they should get married. And again, we talked about this last week, whether you're married or not married, that's not what's important. What's important is, are you remaining with God? Are you fearing God and keeping his commandments? That's what's important. But he said, because of the present distress. So this is only valid for the present distress. He says it's probably good not to get married. Because of the suffering that's going on, the persecution that's going on, it's probably good, okay, that because of this difficulty, it's probably going to be easier for you not to get married. That is not a command that you can get married. he says it's just probably good not to. So this is not an imperative. This is not a command. This is just his opinion that it's probably going to be easier for you if you don't get married. He thought, you know, considering the situation, that it's probably best. So he says, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek one. Again, this is about the present distress. Don't believe that you have to get married or you have to get divorced because of this situation. Don't think that you have to do one or the other. Yeah, persecution makes things more difficult. So he said, if you're released from wife, well, don't seek one. Again, because of the present distress, he says. But if you marry, you've not sinned. So again, whether you marry or not marry, that's not what's important. He says, you know, it's great if you get married. It's great if you don't marry. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Again, the only reason she would have trouble in life is because of the present distress. There's going to be suffering, and this was written, 1 Corinthians was written a few years before the destruction of Jerusalem and all of the pain and suffering that went with it, and all the persecution that was coming about from the Roman government. So because of that, it might be easier for you if you don't get married, but if you do, that's fine. Things can be, you know, difficult. And he's going to say that, but this I say, brothers, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should be as those they had none. Again, you have to think about the context. What's the context? The present distress. You know, it's going to be difficult if you have a family. Okay? If a husband has a wife, well, it might be difficult with this persecution. The same way, those who cry as though they did not cry, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. So this is Paul's advice. This is his wisdom to people. So, you know, the Roman government, when they would persecute, they're not going to care whether a person is married or not or has kids. They're just going to bring persecution. So that's why he's saying it might be easier for you if you weren't married. But it's okay if you are. Just understand that because of this present distress, things are going to get difficult. It's going to be hard. So understand that that just might happen. So he says, but I want you to be free from concern. All right. He wants them to hopefully be, you know, not overcome with anxiety and worry. Again, because of the present distress, because of the difficulties, the suffering, the persecutions. He says, one who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests have been divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And again, this is just a general rule, Paul's opinion, because of the present distress. Because of what's going on in the world, it will probably be easier for those people who aren't married to serve God. He's not telling them that's always the best thing, because it's not. Because God's the one that instituted marriage back in, what, Genesis 2 or 3. So marriage is a good thing. We talked about that last week. That is the general rule, is for people to get married. That's what's best. But for some people, it is not best. But because of this difficulty, this suffering and persecution, it will probably be easier for those who were not married to serve the Lord. he says, now this I say for your own benefit. Again, this is his advice. This is going to be probably easier for you, for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote propriety and undistracted devotion to the Lord. I like that's how the LSB translates that. Undistracted devotion to the Lord. See, during this time of persecution, the tormentors, the persecutors, when they come into a household, a family, he says, it's going to be easier if it's just you. Because if it's just you, you're only going to be concerned about yourself. But if you have a family, now you're going to have to be concerned about the whole family, if you're the man especially. So that's why the phrase undistracted devotion. But again, these words are only going to be true because of the vast amount of persecution and suffering and distress that's going on. So he says, but if any man thinks that he's acting unbecomingly toward his virgin, and some translations put daughter in there. Daughter is not in the original, but it's possible that he is talking about that, like a father and a daughter. There's actually three different situations that could be true here, and they're all true. If she is past her youth, and if it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let her marry. And that's true whether if it's talking about a couple that's engaged, betrothed, or if it's talking about a father and a daughter. But regardless of that situation, you know, it is fine for them to marry. It's not sinful to marry. He keeps repeating that over and over again, you notice. It's not sinful to marry. It is fine. Again, it's just a general rule. This is the way it has to be 100% of the time. A lot of what he talks about in this chapter deals with what was happening in Corinth in the first century with all the persecution and suffering against Christians. So, he says, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no compulsion, but has authority over his own will and has decided this in his whole heart, to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. And of course, he would, again, because of what's going on. So, he does well. He does not, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. Why would it be better not to marry? Only because of the present distress. That's the only reason it's not. He says that. So much, especially this last half of the chapter, is only Paul's general advice, a general rule for a specific situation. And to make it beyond that is to take it further than what Paul is talking. So he ends up, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband has fallen asleep, in other words, passed away, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But in my opinion, this goes back to the present distress, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I also have the Spirit of God. Opinion. That's Paul's advice. All right? If, of course, this is true whether it's a widow or a widower, they can remarry, but he says it's probably, because of the present distress, it's probably going to be easier for the widow or the widower not to remarry. Why? Because of the present distress. And he says, but they're to marry only in the Lord. Now, if you want to get different opinions of that, there's a lot of them. I was reading, two very well-known, you know, very faithful, conservative gospel preachers. They both passed on now, that had vastly different opinions of this. So I don't think there's any way to know, you know, they both said that there's, that this is definitely the way it should be, but they both disagreed. So, only in the Lord. Well, some people said you should only marry someone that is a Christian. That's very possibly what he means. But that phrase, only in the Lord, is also used throughout the New Testament to describe doing it in the manner God describes. That's how the phrase is normally used in the New Testament, not the first way. So, people differ on that, but either way, because of the present distress, he says it's probably better if your spouse passes not to get married again. But it's okay if you do. Just like he was talking about being a slave and being a free. Or, you know, whether, you know, your background as a Jew or Gentile. Or whatever you did as a living. As long as it wasn't sinful. So because of the present distress, you're going to want to do, like he said, for your benefit, what's going to be easiest to remain faithful to God during these trying times. And during the trying times, it's probably easier not to get married or remarried. But it's not sinful to do either one. And that's what he over and over and over again emphasizes because of persecution. And today, if we were being persecuted like Christians were at that time, all right, back in the 60s, you know, the 60s AD, and you know, the destruction of Jerusalem was in 70 AD. So persecution was becoming very intense by the time Paul writes to the church of Corinth. So this time of suffering and persecution, we may have that again. And in those cases, Paul would give the same advice. You know, if you're not married, it's probably going to be easier for you not to get married. But it's okay if you do. And so that's really what to take away from this, especially in the second half of this chapter. You know, whatever your calling is, as long as it's not sinful, remain in it. It's probably going to be easier for you. But it's okay if you change that call. Even if you're a slave and you become free, that's great. But don't think that you have to. Don't think that you have to become free. Don't think that you have to change your job. Don't think that you have to get married. If you do, it's not sinful, but it may be harder. Okay, well, that's... Now, the next chapter is where, you know, I talked about food offered to idols and so forth and about freedom and liberty. That's what he's going to address now. Another situation in Corinth that has very present applications today. So thank you very much.